Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And we are joined today with Nate Klatt and Dan Mitchin. And we are super excited to dive into this amazing business that they have built, Home Hop. And just excited to have you guys here today.
Appreciate you guys having us on.
Yeah, looking forward to chatting.
We don't have a lot of people on our show that are in like what we would call the STR space, so the smaller operators, not in the traditional vacation rental space. So it's likely that some people don't know who you are, but I feel like you guys are gaining popularity by being on other shows and being present in social media. But why don't you give us a little bit about your backgrounds and how each of you came together to start this business?
Yeah, absolutely. So Dan and I... best friends throughout grade school, through high school. So again, it's always fun whenever you get a chance to work with friends. From there, I went off to college, played football at Michigan State, got my CPA license, and really had a career focus in accounting. 3 years of public accounting, 5 years as a director of accounting, and then I currently work for a Y Combinator from the Bay. And one thing I'm actually very excited about is on Tuesday, I put in my notice to officially go full-time with Dan into the business. So very exciting time right now for us as we continue to scale this business. Dan and I actually started in 2020 doing flips. Our first home we purchased the first week of February. Great timing.
Yeah.
So COVID hit. We had a little bit of a fear. Ultimately, we did end up going forward. Had, I think, 12 flips that we did in totality. Definitely made some money. Definitely had some growing pains. But ultimately, just didn't feel like it was a scalable business model for us. Kind of fell into short-term rentals, which Dan will speak to. But kind of fell into short-term rentals in 2021 on a deal that we were struggling to sell. We're like, oh, wow, this is actually making us quite a bit of money. This is a cool business venture. And then you really have the ability to put software systems in place to scale a business, which is always our focus from a business aspect. And from there, we've grown to now own 9 between Dan and I. We have a fund that's raised a little over $1.5 million with 6 properties currently purchased and growing. And then we have a property management group that we launched early last year, which currently has 10 listings and again, gaining significant traction. So we're all in and excited for the future that that Home Hop has. I'll pass over to Dan.
Yeah. So I've been in real estate since 2015. I started as an agent, always knowing that I wanted to get into investing in some sort of capacity. I did a little bit of everything. So I was an agent. I also coached agents. I did some apartment syndications. So my first investment deal was a 70 unit. I've always kind of had the mindset like I'm just going to jump in and figure it out. So flipped a couple apartment buildings, got into single family home flips. And while all this was going on, I also had a 2 short-term rentals, but it was kind of as just a side gig, side business. Thought I knew what I was doing, but not really. Ultimately, as Nate mentioned, I was working with another partner during COVID. We had a single family flip that was just kind of sitting on the market. We couldn't move it. That's when Nate and I was talking and we said, why don't we buy this outright and Airbnb it? So that was Nate and I's first Airbnb. We created the systems, the processes, and I finally saw the full potential. And that's when we decided to go all in. We stopped doing flips. I solely just started working with Nate and yeah, here we are today.
That's super exciting. Yeah, you guys covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time.
It definitely had its growing pains. But I think Nate and I work really well together. Like I'm always like, I just want to dive into something, just do it, go and figure it out. And Nate's more so like, hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's put a plan in place and we'll slowly figure this out. And thankfully, that's the route we ended up going down.
You got to have the yin and the yang to figure out what everybody's best at and then optimize around it. So that's great. I just looking on your website, you're in some kind of interesting locations, not the traditional vacation rental destinations, I would say. Was there strategy around where you've put up your shop?
Is Cleveland not the traditional vacation rental market?
I haven't booked a vacation there yet this year. But
I don't want to discount Cleveland. I'm sure it's a great place.
yeah, I mean, LeBron was there twice, so, you know, we'll take
it. Right.
For us, really came to, honestly, and we're fortunate for this, I would say too, but it's our neck of the woods. It's where we grew up, but it's where we had the most traction. My dad was a new home construction and owns a tile store there. Multiple family members that are contractors. Dan was a top performing agent at KW before switching into business. So we really had our roots in Cleveland. But the thing that's just really interesting about the Cleveland market and some of the just the different Midwest markets, some of the Southern markets that aren't quite as coastal, is your cash on cash returns and your return on investment just can be significantly higher. So a lot of people are shocked when we tell them, yeah, we'll buy a home, you know, single family home in Cleveland. It might cost us $225,000 and we'll grow $60,000 on it on Airbnb. Where traditionally you kind of hear those numbers and it's like, well, if I buy something in San Diego where I live at, if I spend $2 million, I'm definitely not quite getting that same return. So we kind of fell in it from that standpoint, but just love the way the numbers work out in the Midwest region.
So just kind of, you know, on that topic, I mean, the cash on cash return, we were talking about this before we went live, that it just seems like a lot of the new STR investors that are coming into this are, they've caught onto something maybe that the older generation vacation rental investors, you could say, did not, that Airbnb was not around during those times. But it just seems like you're getting a lot more of potential out of your investment going into some of these cities where, you know, there's not a whole lot of Airbnbs or short-term rentals, and people just want other alternatives than staying in a hotel. So I like your approach. I think you guys are really smart doing it that way. Do you think you'll continue to look for other more, you know, city-based destinations because of the success you've had?
I think what's interesting, and you guys have spoke about this on your podcast before, but it's the maturation of the industry, right? So, you know, in the beginning it was, hey, put up an Airbnb, throw some IKEA furniture in there, you're good to go. Yeah. And now it really is turning into a more sophisticated investor, truly a business. And with all the money you're seeing come into, so again, you're seeing Hostaway was a $500 million raise. Like, there's just a significant focus on it now. And I think that's what makes this industry so interesting as well, is just you do have the ability to put the right system softwares in place. But yes, absolutely. Our goal is to probably, we have the concept, we don't want to boil the ocean. So we're not trying to be in every single market. We want to be really good in a few markets. So our focus right now has been Cleveland. That's where we're dedicated to. But I see us towards the end of this year probably leaning into like the Columbus market, the Cincinnati market, potentially the Pittsburgh market, and those larger cities that are still in the Midwest, still going to have those kinds of returns, but allow us to still stay somewhat geographically centralized. So that way we can really focus on being the premier company in this general region versus, again, trying to reach out every single location.
So you're telling me you're not going to actually go buy something in San Diego to put on the market?
Unless you want to come invest with us and you got a few.
We'll definitely come visit.
Yeah, we'd love to. Yeah. So I have a question kind of along those lines of like doing these rentals in cities. So one of the things that came out of COVID, again, blew up the industry, and Alex and I have interviewed a lot of people, and we've been doing this for such a long time that it was kind of all of a sudden everybody noticed us. And I always joke, it's like, well, because all the cool kids were hanging out in short-term rentals, it's like where we've always been. So everybody's in it. Everybody's excited about it. It's where people want to invest all their money. And so the urban markets became kind of this new hot spot for people to visit over traditional vacation destinations. Now that travel is sort of normalizing, I know I see that the cities are going back to more like the business travel, staying in the hotels, but there's still a need for the short-term rental. What are you guys looking at to forecast for the future to say, like, this is a city that we want to go into? Are you looking just at the real estate value of it? Or are you looking at travel trends as well to help you make those decisions?
I'd say right now our key is we do use things like Key Data or Price Labs in order to be able to understand what the market holds. But going back to the numbers, again, my brain, CPA brain, it always thinks of how is my cash on cash going to look? Getting to factor in my appreciation. We don't want to be strictly focused on cash. How does that appreciation impact look? You know, that's where Columbus is really appealing. They have a lot of investment coming into the city. You have the capital there. You have a lot of just growth there. Cleveland in its own right now, they have a program called Reimagine Downtown, where they're about to spend, I think it's around $2 billion on the lakefront. So how do they increase the lakefront? How do they make it more vibrant? You know, that inevitably is going to draw a lot of attention, a lot of people coming in, a lot of people, workers coming in that need somewhere to stay. And again, from a cost-effective standpoint, if I'm thinking about housing 10 different people in a hotel versus, hey, everyone can split an Airbnb, it's just significantly better. So we are looking at the demands, but it's really more of what do current prices kind of hold? What do our current costs kind of hold? And then from there, we can kind of project out what we think it might look like, but kind of focus as much as anything on that, like that current aspect.
We just had Katie Briscoe on our show probably about like a month or so ago, I would say. And she's the CEO of MMGY Global, which that's actually the agency that Cleveland uses as their like agency of record for the destination and for marketing. So I've followed along with the Cleveland story of how they've really rebranded the city. And like you mentioned, I mean, bringing in those different types of travelers and just, you know, sparking that desire to go there. And I would like to go to Cleveland too. I've seen some really good things, so it's working. But you know, the role of a destination marketing organization, whether you're in a tourist area or in a city, you know, that makes a huge impact on what you're able to do in the short-term rental space.
If you ever need a spot, we know someone that can have an extra Airbnb.
So you guys have said several times, and it's always a hot button for us, Airbnb, that you have an Airbnb, that you do an Airbnb, that you have Airbnbs. Not that you have short-term rentals, but you mentioned that you have HostAway, and Nate, you and I met through your interest in homes and villas with my current role there. Are you guys using more than Airbnb, or are you just now, because you're just getting kind of a portfolio that you need to start distributing out more, are you starting to look at other channels? What does your distribution mix look like?
We're on several channels. So Airbnb is our biggest revenue driver here in our market. We're also on VRBO. So like, I guess it makes sense. We do have some more vacation style houses like up near the islands, and those are, I would say Airbnb is still the primary revenue generator, but VRBO is a little bit more prominent in those areas. And then we have another house randomly in a city called Berea, like a college town. And VRBO is probably like 35%, which is probably one of our highest rates as far as like VRBO bookings. And then we just started exploring with booking.com. And then we're also on Google. And then we're going to start making a push now that Nate's about to get into this full time. One of his first tasks is direct bookings and really building out our direct booking platform. Just because, as you guys know, like Airbnb is great and everything, but at the end of the day, their fees are like 16% from the guests. And if we can reduce that, that means we can increase our nightly rates and guest saves a little bit of money and we make a little bit more money.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a first, Annie. I don't know if I even shared this with you, but I was somewhere recently and I heard somebody say, I booked a Vrbo.
Oh, down south they do. Yeah.
Do they really? Wow.
Yeah. So the Panhandle and Florida, Vrbo has always been the bigger of the two. Airbnb they had more of the urban markets down here, but yeah, you'll hear that a lot in the south part.
I was going to say, one follow-up on that I just think is an interesting exercise. So, you know, I think, Annie, you kind of asked there about, like, again, what other platforms are we on? We try to do an exercise where we go through, and we actually have a spreadsheet called Brain Dump. It's a Google Doc. And anytime we have an idea that we think could be interesting, just put it down on there, get it off the mental. And then we try to sit down roughly once a month, reorganize those into buckets, and then talk about what makes the most sense for us to strategically focus on. I think sometimes when you first start, especially if you're newer in the industry, it's bells, whistles, you got all these different software, you want to do everything. And our strategy was, let's really lean in, let's be the best on Airbnb, the best on VRBO, and not really worry about the marketing, not worry about this segment of the business. But as we scale and grow, now that's when we start to focus on it. And that's again where I reached out about Marriott. That's why we're starting to kind of lean into this direct booking. It's like, okay, we've reached that inflection point where now it makes sense to start to focus on that. But just something to challenge yourself whenever you are newer in this is like, what, get really good at certain things. What are your priorities? And don't try to boil the ocean. Don't try to do everything, because inevitably you're going to do half as well.
Yeah. Well, I love that you have a plan. So many people get into this and just see the dollar signs and they forget that, like, at some point there is that inflection point where you have to make a decision and you can't continue down one path. And so you guys are like music to our ears saying that you're going to start focusing on your direct booking and your branding, because that's one thing that we see a lot of people get into from the STR side is once they get to a certain scale, they become so beholden to one channel that they don't know how to get away from it. They don't know how to like wean themselves off of it. And they haven't diversified enough or even really looked into it. I mean, you guys have a great system, great PMS that you're working with. They have good connectivity, you know, a lot of good options with that though. So I think that having that brain dump and getting together once a month to kind of revisit what you're doing is super smart. And definitely a lot of people could learn from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you get a lot of repeat guests in the areas that you're in?
I think it's property dependent. And that's actually something that we're working on as well. Once Nate gets into this full time, is really collecting that data and guest information through things like StayFi. And then just, creating those sorts of campaigns. Overall, though, no, we don't get a ton of repeat guests. It's maybe 5%. That might even be being a bit generous. But overall, just because most of our houses are not vacation style houses, Yeah. The repeat guests are kind of rare. Although there is a, we did just have a guest that just popped in my head. She's a pastor locally, and she books with us probably once a quarter and brings her church group, and they do their thing in our house. And yeah, she's probably our top guest.
Is that yeah, your top guest. Number one fan.
Yeah, exactly. And she always leaves us raving reviews, which is nice. So
she's praying over your property. That's always good.
I'll take it.
Those early top fans mean a lot, especially as you continue to grow the business. Like, you'll probably always remember her being an early believer. But yeah, and you know, it's tough. I mean, like Annie said, you feel like you have to do it all when you first start, and there are so many shiny things, and it's like, just making the decision on the technology, I think, is really a struggle. And I talked to a lot of operators that they've bought multiple different tools. And as we're looking at things, I'm like, you know that you only need one of those three. Like, there's overlap in them. And I'm just curious, I mean, you guys are all very sharp gentlemen, but how did you, when you jumped in, like, how did you start your decisions on, you know, getting the software and different things, StayFi, like, how did you go through that process of determining what your tech stack was going to look like?
A lot of listening to Alex and Annie podcast here. So I will say it's amazing how much free content is out there now in this space. Yeah. And again, you guys are pioneers in helping to put that out there. I think it's probably in the last 3 years, I've probably listened to, I don't know, 1500, 2000 hours on podcasts. It's, hey, I can take a walk. It's a short-term rental podcast. What are other people in the industry doing? What are the experts doing? And kind of just trying to copy that, mirror that. I came very close at one point to opening up a gym called Metabolic. I went through Discovery Day. I had done, was ready to sign the papers. Also, like, right before COVID happened. So again, knock on wood, I didn't go that route. But I was always interested in the franchise space because I feel like I'm more of an operator than maybe creative. And being able to have this blueprint that you have in the short-term rental space, I feel like that's what makes this such a fascinating space, because you can really learn. People are open to giving advice. It's not this cutthroat, like, and I was listening to your last podcast and they were talking about how they didn't always like speak to each other as far as like how things were doing and how things were progressing. And now it's an industry where actually Dan met on Tuesday with, I think it was six other local property managers in the area to just discuss like how they're doing. Not something you've seen in a lot of other industries. So it's a really cool space to be able to have that.
Very, very smart to make sure it's the, you know, keep friends close, enemies closer kind of situation. And Alex and I call them frenemies. I think, you know, Lino calls them co-opetition, that kind of thing. But what did that journey look like for you guys? So you landed on HostAway as your system. How did you get to that point? Because again, coming into this with one or two units and like recognizing that you needed a platform, it's a pretty overwhelming process. And some of them are just have way too much for what you would need to begin, but you want something that you can scale with. So where did you guys start? Did you go to a conference? Was it just on a podcast? How did you research that and come to this decision?
We actually had I won't name any names. There was another PMS that we were using, and it was okay for when we first started. And then once we hit that, I think it was like 8 properties or so, it just wasn't doing what we wanted it to do. Yeah. So what's nice about, we mentioned in the beginning, like me and Nate are kind of like yin and yang. Our brains work completely different. So Nate is focused on the accounting stuff. So when we knew it was time to switch PMS, he was focused on, okay, what's going to do what I needed to do as far as accounting goes. And then I was more so the operations guy. And it was, okay, we need something that does X, Y, and Z. So we just, I think we had 3 different demos with some of the top PMS systems. And ultimately broke it down to pros and cons. And that's how we landed on HostAway. And honestly, I've been very, very happy with them so far as well.
We'll be back in just a minute after a word from our premier brand sponsor, Extend Team.
I'm Alexis Nielsen.
And I'm Gina Alessandrini.
And we're the owners of Phoebe Vacation Rentals.
And we've been with Extend Team for the past year.
We were running into a problem where we were trying to source VAs ourselves, and we were having a high turnover rate and issues with attendance, performance, things of that nature. And then when we were introduced to Extend Team, we made the switch, and it has been night and day of performance, no attendance issues, and really allowed our business to scale to that next level.
We use Extend Team mostly with our guest communication and vendor coordination. They handle a lot of the day-to-day that, you know, we have 35 properties. So our, you know, there's a lot of questions and inquiries coming in nonstop from current guests or potential guests, and they answer all those questions.
So for onboarding with Extend Team, from the moment that we said, hey, we're ready to go, let's sign a contract, we want to hire these individuals, it takes them up to 2 weeks. Great thing about Extend Team worth mentioning is they handle putting out the job ad. They do all the interviews, the vetting, the background checks, making sure that the VA has all the software capabilities that they need. And then once they are transitioned and they're working with us, Extend Team still continues to manage the employee. If we were doing the jobs of all four of our team members that we have through Extend Team, we wouldn't be able to do it. You know, these individuals are really our extra set of eyes, ears, arms to get everything done that needs to get done. By employing Extend Team, we are able to focus on growing our business rather than working day to day in the business.
The best news is Extend Team has an exclusive offer just for listeners of Alex and Annie podcast. Receive 50% off your onboarding fee when you visit extendteam.com/Alex and Annie or mention our podcast when you contact them.
You guys do some kind of unique things, it sounds like, too. We were talking about Zapier, however you say it before, on how you're taking some of that data and extrapolating it to other things. But tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the creative processes and things that you've built around your tech stack.
So we're all about systems and processes. How do we make our life easier is what it boils down to. So anytime that we get constant issue, like how do we create a system and process to get rid of that? So the first one was our cleaning team. So how do you track and pay all of your cleaners when you get to 20 plus properties? So we use Slack, and we have a cleaning channel within Slack. So in order for a cleaning team to get paid, they have to go to that Slack channel and they have to say 123 Main Street is cleaned and ready. I then created a Zapier bot that analyzes that cleaning channel, looks for keywords, and if it's from a specific cleaning team, it automatically takes that, creates a bill in QuickBooks, and now we can track, okay, this cleaning needs paid out, this hasn't been paid out, and then obviously with 1099s and everything, if you're going that route, it tracks all of that, which makes our life 100 times easier. And then we also have another really cool one where we can analyze maintenance issues. So again, once you get to a certain amount of properties, it can be very time consuming to just make sure like you're looking at every single review that comes in. So we integrated ChatGPT to where it'll analyze our reviews coming in. And again, this is done through Zapier. It's a little bit more in depth and detailed, but what it'll do is anytime we get an email with a review that comes in, ChatGPT analyzes it. If it has a negative sentiment, it'll automatically take that review, identify what the issue may be, and then it'll put it into Asana under our project maintenance. It gets assigned to our maintenance man and a message goes out to Slack so everybody's aware, like, hey, this guest stayed at this property and they said the toilet was leaking or whatever the issue is. Now we can track what is outstanding, what's been done. And again, just makes our life 100 times easier.
I love that. I haven't heard anybody using the technology for that type of communication within the back end, but that's a brilliant usage of it.
I also love doing that stuff. Like anytime I can create like any sort of automation, like again, just to make our life easier, there's something, I don't know what it does, but yeah, my brain just loves doing that kind of stuff.
Kind of like Nate likes spreadsheets. So everybody has their thing, right?
Yes, exactly.
I'm curious, through HostAway, are your cleaners not able to log in and be able to mark the unit as clean within the system? Or is that not functionality they offer?
There may be a way to do that. And I know that, so they have tasks within HostAway. Mm-hmm. And we explored them in the past and I don't remember what the issue was, but it wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. And so that's why I went this route and built this.
And our cleaners do have a calendar where they're checking to make sure that, hey, this property is ready for clean. So it is a hands-off from that standpoint, but more from a payment processing standpoint.
Gotcha.
Out of curiosity, are your cleaners, are they just your cleaners or are they ones that do others in other homes in the market, maybe hotels, that type of thing?
We started with having cleaners that also cleaned other units. We do still have some. I would say they stay busiest with us, but most of our cleaning teams do work solely for us. So we have a director of cleaning operations And then it's her job to bring on other cleaning teams. She kind of trains them, oversees everything. She lets them know like, hey, this is how you get paid. This is what you need to do in Slack. This is where you upload your cleaning video. And yeah, a lot of our cleaning teams ultimately work for us directly. Although we have a couple that work for some other like the standard like home cleanings as well.
So day one starts very soon for you since you left the W-2. And what are you going to do on day one? what's the first matter at hand?
So I'm gonna go for a hike with my dog on day one, but day two. one of our focuses right now is that direct booking website. How do we start building that out? Even the insurance that goes along with it. It's a different level of insurance needed when you have, you know, Airbnb has their, I think it's $5 million, and Vrbo has their, Vrbo or VRBO has their $1 million policy. So right now we've been kind of messing around with like, what do we need to put in place administratively? How do we start to do guest checks? That's something that we've done in the past with Airbnb. So kind of like just all the things that need to go into getting that off the ground. I think the part going back to that last conversation, I think is interesting is kind of goes back to like the different inflection points you hit in the business. So for a while, Dan was our interior designer, him and his wife, and did a great job, but not the best use of his time. And now we have a full-time interior designer that works with us. She designs all the properties that we bring on. She, if there's anything needed, she helps to structure, bring on new, you know, we need a refresh. And you kind of have these different inflection points where, again, now we have 3 virtual assistants working with us, 2 maintenance men working with us. And it's like kind of overscaling a little bit or overstaffing a little bit to make sure that as we grow, we're able to really handle this. Because I've heard the name hectic host get tossed around a lot where, you know, it's fun, it's exciting. There's 2 people, you think you can do everything. And then you realize you cannot do everything in this business. You have to make sure you're setting yourself up for success. And, you know, when do those different moments really like kind of hit? So that's kind of the other focus, just kind of, again, thinking big picture, like thinking end in mind, what do we need to do to get to the end in mind?
One thing that Alex and I are focused on this year is kind of the bridging the gap between the short-term rental and the vacation rental business. And not necessarily that they belong together, but they can exist together in kind of the same space, help each other out, educate each other, advocate for each other. I mean, we're all facing in various forms regulations. I don't know how Cleveland is. I don't know if you've had any problems there within Ohio, but it's a problem. And a lot of it stems from people who are in, areas where there's not a lot of opportunity to connect with other operators. So there's not a lot of education that's going on. So what are you guys are, I would say, and from what we've been meeting, a unique operator. You guys are really doing all the right things. You're looking at the software. You're making a plan. You're discussing things. You're thinking down the road, not thinking just how much money you're going to make this month and maybe next month. What are you doing to actively educate yourself, educate your peers, and create kind of that ecosystem for people to come up in the space? Again, most people fall into the space. Just like you said, it wasn't anything that you planned. It just happened. But once you get there, you've got to be able to go find out what to do and how to do it.
I was actually sitting around a bonfire on the beach last night having this exact conversation with another one of our partners that help with our fund. It was really around this idea of we are in a mastermind for short-term rentals. So we do meet once a week through a mastermind for short-term rentals, just so we can at least kind of be around other players in the space. And again, we'll try to connect with people in Cleveland. But to this point, we haven't done any of the events. So going to like the STR WealthCon or some of these other like events that are going on. So that's actually one of the focuses for us this year as well. We have a goal to go to 3 different events this year together, which up until now just was kind of precluded with having the W-2 job. Wasn't as easy to quite get away, but admittedly something that we're still kind of wet behind the ears on, but really want to lean into is this education space and this networking space. And, you know, you're also helping to fill one of my goals is to do 3 podcasts this year. So this is one of 3 this year. So it's how do we start putting ourselves out there and really learn from the best?
What's the end goal in mind? I mean, how many properties would you have an ideal world?
I think with the Cleveland market, I'd love to see us hit high 100s to 200 units. But, you know, right now our focus is property management and then our fund. So at the end of the day, I would love to see us really lean into equity in these properties as well. We use property management really as kind of fuel for the fire to be able to have the cash flow, to be able to hire the team, to be able to scale the business. But how do you ultimately have equity and kind of have that growth? And part of that too goes back to, and this is where like I'm super stoked right now, because my dad was an entrepreneur growing up, never missed a sports game. You know, my goal here, I'm recently married, at some point have kids here soon. Like my goal is to be able to never miss a sports game, to be able to be there, be that like that father figure you want to be for your family. So the opportunities that this lends itself is thrilling.
Because they're just firing on all cylinders. It's like super exciting. It's fun to talk to entrepreneurial people like you guys that have taken that leap and, you know, and trusted yourselves and knew that you guys had a good thing between both of you and your skill sets, and you have the ambition and the talent, and you know, great things are just going to continue to happen. It's going to be fun to watch your journey.
I'd be curious. There's obviously the difference between the short-term rental and the vacation rental, but where do you guys think like that biggest gap is? And like, is there any like areas where you think like one's lacking versus the other, where like they should really lean into, like maybe short-term rentals should really be leaning into this aspect of vacation rentals?
I think it comes down to, I mean, we just had on our podcast this week, it was the OGs of the Panhandle. And these are, you know, a group of guys that have been down in Annie's neck of the woods and operating since, you know, the mid 80s or late 80s or early 90s, somewhere around there, a very long time. And, you know, the knowledge that so many people in the vacation rental industry have accumulated over the years is something that I think the short-term rental side that are newer really need to lean into and just, you know, understand we've been doing this for a very long time. I think, you know, the newer STR managers are in some cases more tech savvy than some of the, you know, the legacy ones, but in the middle is really where it needs to be. That at the end of the day, we are all hospitality businesses. We're not a technology business. The technology, I think Lino said this, the technology should be in the background and something that the guest doesn't know anything about. And so how do you really bridge that gap of wanting to do all the things and make sure that you're, you know, running the most efficiently and that you've got top of the line tech on every part, but really balancing that with the needs of the guests that are going to make people, even if you're not in an area that you would get a ton of repeat business, if people are going to come back, that they do want to come back and stay with you because that experience was just so strong. So I think the STR side probably needs to lean a little bit more into the hospitality, and the legacy, you know, needs to lean a little bit more into some of the newer age things. But in the middle is probably where everybody needs to be.
Yeah, I think overall we all need to come together because we're seeing it in a lot of markets where there's a lot of preemptive regulation that's coming into place. And a lot of it is just because people don't know what the business is. There's no definition of it. And unfortunately, the definition has become it's an Airbnb. I joked about it earlier, but that's what's happened. So whenever there's something bad, everybody gloms on to that name, and all of a sudden all of us are in this, you're an Airbnb, and Airbnb is bad, and they're not bad, and it's not, and they're just a platform. But unfortunately, you know, whenever you have something bad happens, that's when it gets on social media, it gets blown up, and that's when all of a sudden everybody in a market goes, well, it happened down the road, it could happen to us, so let's just be preemptive and plan ahead and get rid of all this business. But, you know, in some markets, I mean, you guys are successful in a market that, again, was not a market that people were doing rentals in other than long-term rentals. So you've proven that it works out. You're making money at it. You're doing all the right things. But if you're not careful, there's a guy down the road who might be doing rental arbitrage, which is also a crazy part of the business that people do. And they don't think about, again, the quick buck versus running a good business. And if we're not careful and don't come together and unify our voice like the hotel lobby has, we're going to get regulated out of business in some markets. So I think that, along with the leaning into each other's knowledge base, is super important.
I was going to say, I love the reframing of it. Again, I think even you saying this right now kind of gives me pause of like, should I be saying Airbnb versus should I be saying, hey, we are an STR player, an STR space? Like, again, just changing the mindset of, again, when you're speaking to people, because it's easy to say Airbnb to investors because they know what it is. But when it comes to like the general perception of what it is, it really is a hospitality business. It's a short-term rental business. It's not an Airbnb. Correct. So I love that mindset.
Yeah. When I was at Condo World, I never once heard a guest say, talking about staying with us, that they booked an Airbnb. They said, I stayed with Condo World, and with is the main word there. I mean, they stayed with us and they were our guests. And I think that's kind of the mindset that these companies that have leaned into direct bookings really understand, that, you know, back to the hospitality, we are here to make memories for these guests, whether they're going to Cleveland for a business conference or for a retreat or for a vacation, whatever it may be, you're making memories and you're hopefully making somebody's life better. To reference another great quote from the OGs podcast, Paul Bulford said that when a guest leaves, they either leave with a memory or a folio. And if they leave with the folio is more of an issue, then you know you did not fulfill your duty to be able to really truly provide a hospitable, memorable experience for them. So I thought that was a unique way of saying it and very true.
Well, I think with your new venture, and again, we might be a little smaller side, but I look forward to being able to kind of see what you put out there, pick your brain. And again, would love to even discuss more about what that looks like. I think the branding that you bring, like we want to figure out how to make Home Hop a name and not just they went at Airbnb. And I think this goes back to that repeat guest. If people know who you are, they know your brand. That's how you start to get that repeat guest and really start to, you know, put yourself out there.
Yes.
And even just the word of mouth, you know, I mean, even if it's not a repeat guest, but if somebody stays with you and they go back and they tell their friends and family that they had a great experience, then it's like that really, that's where you start to really gain that momentum.
Absolutely. And then I know we're probably coming short on time, but one thing that I do think is going to be interesting as well, and you guys kind of touched on this, and we always try to make this distinguishment whenever we're talking to anyone, is that we are not a property manager. We are a hospitality business. I do think it's going to be interesting here over the next 2 to 3 years as large language models really do get to the point of being enterprise ready. We've tried a few different softwares that use like ChatGPT to do guest messaging, again, leaning into that tech. But where is that balance out of like too much tech and not enough personalization? Or when do we actually get it's good enough that, hey, this actually feels like it's a human. Therefore, you know, people, when they're calling a call center, they'd rather talk to a human versus a, you know, a bot. But it's like, when does that trade-off happen? And like, are you still going to have this personal touch that we might lose otherwise? So just an interesting like dynamic to kind of think about as we start to progress.
Yeah. If robots become more hospitable than us, then we're really in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a very good point. Well, we are super excited to watch your journey this year. I think you guys are just going to see a lot of growth now with, you know, a little bit more attention on it, on the business now that you're going to be in that new role. And we'll certainly have you come back on the show later this year, maybe for an update, and we can hear in the trenches, as we coined that with Michael James a few months ago and his journey. And it's just fun to see different sides of everybody in this journey that are at different points and how they've approached it. So we wish you nothing but the best of luck this year. If anybody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
For me, I'm kind of old school. I would say Facebook or via email. Email is dan.mitchin@homehoppm.com. Or like I said, Facebook, there's two Dan Mitchins. Just go to the bald guy and that's me.
We're building out the social media right now, but we do have an Instagram for Home Hop. I kind of disowned social media and said I didn't want to go on it, but I'm going to probably start leaning back into it. You can find me on LinkedIn at Nate Clad, and then same email, nate.clad@homehoppm.com, if anyone is interested.
Great. Awesome. Well, if anybody wants to get in touch with Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. And thank you guys so much. We appreciate you being here today, and we'll talk again soon.